I haven't done this in a long time. How have you been?
As good as can be expected.
So great. You're feeling great.
Yeah, another day.
It is 10:38, 10:39 on Friday, November 8th, 2024. I've recorded two live shows in 2024. I just haven't released them yet. I think I feel like I had nothing to offer anyone. And I think that podcasting, for the most part, peaked and then got really, really bad.
It's pretty bad now. I listen to a few, but I understand not having anything to offer to the forum when
Yeah.
it's the same
I feel
people.
like when I started, it was 1988, and I was like in the same era of the Pixies and Dinosaur Jr. And then Nirvana came out, and I was like, well, I was here first, but they were better, you know? And then,
So you're saying Joe Rogan is Nirvana?
no, and Joe Rogan is Stone Temple Pilots and
Right.
Bush and that.
Bush.
And I feel
Yeah.
like now it's like 98, 99, and I do have something to offer because we did something that started on You, Me, Them, Everybody that transitioned to a mainstream network, and we got Future Endeavored because we were connecting professional wrestling and presidential politics. And it took about 4 years for them to realize we weren't on the side of the GOP.
Yeah, I think people definitely misunderstand our interest in pro wrestling by itself, our interest in finding the connections between pro wrestling and presidential politics, like we did in our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. The understanding remains that wrestling is for, maybe Southern conservative rubes who it's still real to them, damn it. And they don't understand that the analysis is bipartisan or nonpartisan.
If anything, it's the future. It's now, then, forever. So we have to do it. We should do it today, considering our last show. I looked this up today. Our last show on WGN Radio was called Impeachment Isn't Fake, It's Predetermined. This seems like a perfect time to bring it back.
Was that the first or the
So
second impeachment?
that was the first impeachment.
Good.
We're doing it. It's the Great American Bash. We're doing the Great American Bash.
Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
All right. It is once again November 8th, 2024. Nothing has changed.
It's been very frustrating that nothing
It's so
changes.
frustrating. I feel insane. You and I were right about fucking everything.
The book
Don't
came
worry.
out 8 years ago, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure September 2016, when we assumed this is a fun lark. No one will ever have to talk about Donald Trump in this way again. We will continue. We will have to do it for at least the rest of his life. I'm assuming his life will be over sooner than ours, but you never know. You can get killed walking your doggy. So, yeah, this is where we are. Donald Trump is president-elect again. It's like he
All
never
right, let's
left.
start with the big show.
Well, it's a big show. It's a big bad show tonight.
Clearly, it has to be.
Linda McMahon is the Trump transition team leader, former guest of the show, Linda McMahon. We first talked to Linda at the 2016 Republican National Convention. On the same night, I saw Dolph Ziggler on the floor, better known, but a real name, Nick. Nick,
Nick
he's
Neiman.
a Ring of Honor champion. Not Ring of Honor, I apologize. TNA?
Is he a champion? He'll be at we could do a plug.
Yeah, he'll
He's
be.
at
Yeah,
he's at Virginia Championship Wrestling on Saturday if you're in the DMV.
Are you going to that?
No, but I can explain why off mic.
Oh, I want to know. I'm like, too, but I won't record. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know this because they're dumb. We wrote, I don't think this was in the book because I think it came out after the book. Without Trump's last minute donation in 2016, both McMahon's donation in 2016, there's a very salient argument that Donald Trump was never the 45th and/or 47th president of the United States of America.
Right. They came through with the big payback, 10 million,
I think it was
five
something
five.
like 10, 15, maybe even 50. Either way, his campaign was not doing well. Without this money, he doesn't get to He didn't even get to the general election. And she was the small business administrator head. Mm-hmm. She was in the cabinet. She was the least, one of the least scandal-ridden people during the first term, during the first run with the belt. And now she's back. And right. Are you in any way surprised?
No, because she's battle tested in both the Trump administration and getting through scandals. But like you said, not actually while in government, which is kind of shocking considering the rest of the cronies. But yeah, she's, you know, he can be loyal. He usually isn't. It'll be interesting to see which of these recent hangers on will stick around. But I think the McMahon, Vince, excuse me, I'm doing it too. The McMahon Trump connection, you know, it's the mega powers.
Speaking of the mega powers, that's the horrible transition. We have a new segment on the show.
Then, now. Forever.
There's a new Ring Boys lawsuit.
Yeah, probably shouldn't make light of that. Just
here's the thing. Stop. Yeah. Here's the thing. I felt guilty considering where we live. We both live in Washington, D.C. Considering what my wife does for employment, mm-hmm. about sort of joking about the Trump administration, especially after January 6th. And I think that's where I went wrong. I felt like I had to be quiet because I made light of things and it made things worse. I was wrong. If anything, I should have been louder as a straight white man and told people what's up. It's this guy. We'll get to
yeah,
all of it.
I would say the only reason I think I'm fine making fun of January 6th, especially that, you know, that woman who got to meet Ronald Reagan that day. That's, you know, that type of stuff is fun. But no, I think the thing with the Ring Boy scandal, for people who don't know, this was during the late 80s, early 90s. And yeah, WWE, then WWF, they would use, like, I mean, it's Ring Boys right in the name. They would use kind of like local talent, young kids to kind of come help set up. And they also employed pedophiles. And yeah, that went about as poorly as you can imagine. So, this came to light in the early 90s. It was, you know, well covered. There was a lawsuit. It was on different, you know, talk shows. But yeah, this is, you know, in light of the other Vince sexual assault, sexual trafficking lawsuit. They're bringing back the lawsuit to try to, you know, get some justice in this case.
Do you think there'll be any justice in this case? And I'm not making light of the case in any way.
I mean, did
whatsoever.
They pay out the first time? I think, you
they
know,
did.
Maybe they'll, yeah. You know, Vince still got that TKO money. I think they're figuring out how much to pay out in this, see if the other one actually goes to trial. The details in that one, I do not feel good making light of, considering, however, all the stuff we knew about Vince, and I still was, like, not surprised by any of it because it makes sense, but I didn't expect some of the things in the lawsuit or in the reporting about the lawsuit.
Like the depravity of it or the...
Oh, yeah, the depravity. Yeah, none of it was, like, you know, for the guy who talked about putting leaves in a vagina in a Playboy interview, you're surprised but not shocked. Kind of like this week. Like, not
okay.
Not
we'll
even,
get to
I
that.
I wasn't even surprised, but anyway.
Really quick. Before we move on from that, I would like to point out: does this even make headlines? Does Linda even make headlines with the new Ring Boys lawsuit? If not for the Mr. McMahon Netflix series,
no. Okay. So I think that putting that back on the table, the fact that Vince is in hot water again with this other lawsuit, I think there's mm-hmm. more tension there. But I wouldn't even. I haven't read too much of the coverage, if there hasn't been any way of Linda in the transition team, and I don't know if anyone's even bringing up these lawsuits.
Yeah, the Linda was brought up today on the Daily, the mm-hmm. New York Times podcast, the Joe Rogan for the
liberal set, yeah.
And Linda was mentioned as the former head of the SBA. No mention of World Wrestling Entertainment. No mention of the current lawsuit.
Right. So that's about right.
Yep. Okay. So somewhat related to this, Vince is apparently starting a new company as well. It's not sports entertainment that we know of. It's an entertainment company. Do you think the entertainment company succeeds?
No, I mean, I don't even know if it ends up getting off the ground. I wouldn't be
fine. Why doesn't it get off the ground?
I think there's enough. There is enough money around this stuff, but we've seen Vince is not always. Vince does one thing well, and when he tries to do other things, it doesn't work. He does not, you know, unlike Trump, he did not get kind of mainstream crossover. But, you know, there's people in Hollywood with worse records than him, or at least more well-known worse records that are still working, you know, there's, and they go overseas, and there's whole little industries where these, with, you know, the Bryan Singers and the Kaiser Soze.
Spacey.
Spacey, yeah. So I mean,
it would be interesting to see if
there's a market for it, but I think he's the oldest dog with the oldest tricks.
How is that any different than the 47th president slash former current home? Is he a Hall of Famer again?
You know, I think he's got to go back in. I think the two term, I think the Grover Cleveland of it all, he's got to go in. You know, I think it's different because I think Trump figured out the crossover in a way Vince didn't. And Vince sanitized. Sports entertainment is sanitizing. There's nothing sanitized about Trump's version of pro wrestling. It's more appealing. It's more appealing. He hasn't sanitized. I mean, you know, look what he's planning. You know, he gets more and more out there. You know, during the last days of the campaign, he was, you know, I think his attacks were, I mean, they're not as sharp and, you know, quote unquote funny as they were before, but I think he's more unhinged because he knows he can get, like he said, you know, he can kill someone on Fifth Avenue. That hasn't changed. That's only gotten stronger.
Okay. I don't disagree with what you're saying. And this was brought up today on The Daily as well. Haberman brought it up. She said he's been the purest version of himself in the past few weeks. That's exactly what people wanted. So I don't think this is new in any way whatsoever. He should have always been off prompter. He might have won the popular vote in 2016 if he was completely himself the entire time. Right. He has essentially been doing a shoot interview for the last 2 months.
And he's been doing it on pods.
What?
He gets it. He gets it. He knows where the industry was going.
The thing that nobody understood, it's not about values. It's not about issues. It's not about gender. It's not about anything else. It's about who's best on mic. Dude was the best on mic in this election, and stop. He wasn't so good on mic because he had to do this scripted bullshit with COVID last time. And Biden was better on mic about COVID. And it's that simple. And right. I understand that it's disheartening, but it's not complicated. Yeah. When have we ever elected the least captivating person since the since television?
Yeah.
Have we ever?
This goes back to, I mean, this is the modern era since 60. You know, that was the thing. You know, Nixon was better on paper. Nixon was experienced. Nixon also like was flop sweating, and you had JFK who, you know, was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time, you know, and that's been the case. And the only reason the Democrats in our lifetime has had any success is because they had a guy who could play saxophone on Arsenio Hall, and they had probably the best American orator of a century. I mean, I don't go back and listen to a lot of, I mean, I know they found some George Hackenschmidt footage here, but I don't go back and listen to like Calvin Coolidge speeches. So I mean, yeah, and the fact that Trump is better on that, and I will say, anytime in the election when the Democrats did even come close to understanding it, when they called them weirdos, when they implied that J.D. Vance fucks couches, they stopped. And when
they stopped.
Kamala got she accidentally landed on a good slogan, we're not going back. They gave it up on it. And Trump has been more and more himself. And, you know, I've been talking about it in my household. It's unfortunately, you know, the hope and change candidate for the last three elections has been Trump. Maybe it's not the hope and change.
Oh, for sure. 100%. 100%.
That everyone, that 50% of the country wants. But yeah, I mean, this was like, this has been, I don't know, everyone's kind of, anyone who was surprised by it, anyone who's still shocked by people who, you know, the cruelty's the point, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, that's the stuff that's frustrating is we've done this before, literally. And, and there
and here, here's the thing. Yeah. I know this is a very callous thing to say, but it's like, there's a reason why ECW and matches like that aren't everyone's cup of tea. They would prefer the WWE sanitized match than the blood and guts 9 out of 10 times. Of course, like, you occasionally get the best match of the year when it's Punk McIntyre and it's the bloodiest match in maybe WWE's last 10 years. And occasionally you get Jericho getting cut up in the face with a pizza cutter while a pizza ad runs on AEW. And those are great. That's not the everyday. The everyday is mostly the boring matches that get us by. That's what the American people want. It's not a, yes, he's callous, but most importantly, he's the best on mic. It's not, he's the most captivating dude.
Yeah.
That is so difficult for a lot of people. And that is the most frustrating thing, other than the actual, you know, consequences of this election.
Yeah. Yeah. The consequences, not great, Bob. Yeah. No, but I think he hasn't, you know, the lessons of the, you have to battle him on mic in the same tactics. They still don't get it. They still want to go high. And they're going to keep losing. And,
yeah,
you know, and this is, you know, the Democratic Party might as well be, I don't know, pick a promotion that Vince, you know, Georgia Championship, you know, they must be something that they got bought in Black Sunday, because it's a dying promotion. It's behind the times. And it's been co-opted. They took the things that, you know, look at the demographics that are switching to Trump. You know, there was allegedly the bread and butter for the Dems. You know, this is rock and wrestling. I mean, this is where we are. This is the media landscape, the political landscape, and Trump gets it, and they still don't.
Speaking of not getting it, a different morning podcast, which is a similar to the Joe Rogan, NPR is up first. The first story today was about how the transition is way behind schedule. Chris Christie, the guy that introduced WrestleMania 2013, the same WrestleMania where Donald Trump was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, he ran the transition in when he was number 45, and then he was fired 2 days into the administration. There, and it crippled the entire run. He couldn't do the things he wanted to do. They haven't even started doing the stuff that they should have been doing over the summer.
Love
this
it.
To me is long-term NWO booking in WCW. Yes, right now they are definitely number one in the ratings. Hogan's got the belt. They got Nash. It's cool. Now what? Yeah. This is also a hope. I hope not none of this. A lot of what has been promised will not happen. There's nothing in place to make it happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, the saving grace of the 2016, you know, the first term, the first reign with the belt is that we had incompetent fascists.
Yeah.
So the bad things that could happen were limited by their incompetence, about not having a transition team, by having, as mentioned in one of those pods, like, they didn't replace political appointees. So they had people undermining them from, you know, from within the house. You know, they were leaking to the sheets. And they're doing the same thing again in 2016 because they didn't think they were going to win.
Yeah.
And so they didn't do any of it. They didn't do their homework, because it's one of those, you don't do the work because you're like, oh, I'm not going to be there. Like, if you're, when you ever do that when you're like at a job, you're like, oh, I'm not doing the long term thing. I'm not going to be here. And this time, I think that's the way they do things. But yeah, they got the book, they got the pencil, and but yeah, there's no long term plan here. They're just gonna have this new world organization, this new world order, as long as they can.
And that in a way gives me solace. It gives me hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of hope, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, whatever. How did you feel? Is there a wrestling analog?
I felt like the only thing that, you know, because knowing we probably have these types of conversations on pod or not. I know you probably have a different one, but I was kind of in the LOL Cena wins.
Oh yeah.
You know, mindset,
yeah,
of, you know, the booking at this point, was this going to go any other way? I don't know. I've felt like 4 years of this, was just the, you know, kind of inevitable no matter what changed in the, and surprises and the stuff we saw since the summer, this felt inevitable. And so I wasn't surprised, and I'm not surprised what the fans want, what the USA universe likes. They like Trump.
I didn't have a reaction to what Trump was when it comes to wrestlers, but I definitely had a reaction to what the American public was. And it was definitely Bash at the Beach when Hogan joins the NWO. And I felt like I was Bobby Heenan calling it on the American public that we've always been this. This is who we've always been.
Hulkamania! Hulk Hogan is here! Hulk Hogan's here! Hulk Hogan is in the building!
You're damn right he is!
Go get him, Hulkster!
Yeah, but whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
Whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
Yes, sir!
Get him, Hogan! Go get him, baby!
Come on and get some of this now.
Who's bad now, boys?
Hulk Hogan arrived. Hulk.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God.
Is he the third man?
He's the third man.
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW. He is the third man.
Look at
this picture.
Oh, my God. What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Probably the lowest shot ever given to professional wrestling. That man did right there, Hulk Hogan.
Let's get everybody out of the dressing room right now and kick his rear end.
Unbelievable, brother.
What have I been saying all these years?
Oh my God.
That is the least surprising aspect of it. It's not that Trump got reelected. It's that he won the popular vote.
Yeah. But he's won the same amount of votes every time.
I think it's a good thing that he won the popular vote. The likelihood of violence is almost gone now.
Living miles from the Capitol. Yeah, I'm happy that there's not going to be an insurrection unless it's from the Stop the Steal liberals who think there's some funny business going on. And so unless Rachel Maddow wants to get her money in the bank briefcase and head down to the Capitol, I think we're good on violence. I think it does remove, it was me all along. I think it removes the cloak, and it shows they still will find the traditional liberals, the Democrats will still find excuses on this, but they don't have Russia to blame in this. Yeah. They don't have bots. They don't have.
Well, no, that's not true. You can still blame
Russia. They can do it. You can still blame. And then, but I think it's abundantly clear when he gets the same amount of votes three times, that there are those people do exist. I think it's very clear, and that's not surprising at all. And it's, they can keep saying, well, this is it's a shocking that so many Americans feel this way. I think shock is a long time ago. I think you have to come up with the new political reality where it is.
One of the segments I don't think we ever did, but I always kind of wanted to do, the worst read of what's going on, the least understood analyst. We're calling it what?
What? What? What?
What? Today, for NBC, Chuck Todd wrote, "This Democratic defeat and the rise of Trump 2.0 was a decade in the making. Biden's age and inability to sell his record or convince that he was fighting inflation were problems. Longer-term Democratic weaknesses also came due." That's incorrect. No, he's just the best on the mic. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, I could go.
Biden's age was completely negated once Biden wasn't in the race.
Running. Yeah.
The record that was sold isn't the record, because the record itself shows that things are actually better than they were. But it's hard to do that when the COVID conflation and inflation, et cetera. That's not the problem. Facts don't matter. They never have.
Yeah.
Being able to want to get a beer with a guy like Bush, actually inspiring people like Obama matters, saxophones matter. A former actor whose wife is friendly with a lot of dudes in the White House matters, that loves Jimmy Carter, being a cool peanut dude matters. These things matter.
Right.
The record doesn't matter, especially when the facts cannot be agreed upon. So if facts don't matter, and this isn't some like Colbert truthing his bullshit. No, it's never been this. Who's the coolest dude? That unfortunately matters. And dude maybe also matters.
Yeah, I think the I think there are, like I was saying with this, if you want to use, if we're going to stay in our wrestling analog, I think the Democratic Party, I think that type of stuff, they're delivering something that nobody wants. They're delivering a product, and an on-screen product, like you're saying, that nobody wants. They're speaking to a really small audience that raised and spent $1 billion to lose. That's not where, you gotta pop the ratings, and they don't do that. on the mic. They don't do it with any type of any, you know, policy that because that's where I think I disagree. Like I think policy stuff can, you know, can work if you deliver it and if you stood for any of it. If you told everybody, hey, we're canceling student debt and so and minimum wage is 15 and your healthcare is free, so you can go ahead and quit that crappy job, and you sold it, and you sold it the way
Yeah.
Trump sells, sending illegals and canceling trans surgeries and stuff, you can do that. But they, yeah, their inability to get somebody who can do it on mic or to offer anything to people that they want. I mean, it's an emotional appeal. This is nothing new.
The Democrats are Ricochet.
Okay.
One of the best in-ring performers I've ever seen. One of the worst on-mic performers I've ever heard.
Yeah. I won't even I don't think the Democrats are that good on paper or on record. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who's just bad at all elements of the
No,
business.
because that's the
Yeah.
thing. It's like even attempting to cancel all student debt, that's huge. You know, you should get
Yeah.
people wanting to vote for you to realize,
Yeah,
oh, wait,
but
what?
you actually have to do any of this. Like, you know,
Well, the
like
minimum
it's,
wage is true.
yeah.
And, but it's more of things like it's tough to convince people like, no, we need to vote for more Democrats to get the stuff you want done.
Yeah.
That's tough. I get that. But maybe if you just had a guy on mic that could sell anything, it would work. Is Trump Cody Rhodes? He kind of went rogue. He went to the Indies, did a bunch of podcasts that know what he heard, and then all of a sudden he's back on the biggest platform. He's got the belt.
They have very similar merch, I would say. We're in our American, the American Nightmare has the belt. And he's a baby face for a lot of people.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.